Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Last Christian. This is our Bible study show for the week. And as you can see, I am in the furnace that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in as well. And that's just because I could do the video. That's the only thing. JD, how do you like the flames?
I like it, David. I like it. I told you when you first showed that to me, I said, man, I sure hate to see you in hell like that. But then you explained it, you know, and that Bible story is one that, you know, that's a great Bible study. That's a great Bible story, and it just shows you, you know, the power of Jesus Christ.
And yeah, so you got to really look at it, because the Bell and the Dragon and the prayer of Diana, I think. Anyway, they took a couple of things out of the book of Daniel. You can go find them. One of them is right smack after chapter 3 was the prayer of Azariah, or the three Jewish boys. Sometimes they call it that. But they had this really long prayer of what they were doing in the furnace.
Yeah.
So, and it says, oh, blessed be the Lord of the sky. Blessed be the Lord of the earth. Blessed be the Lord of the stars. And, you know, and just on and on and on and on. And you're like, whoa, these dudes were serious. And it's really powerful. I have no idea why they would take it out.
No, me either.
But it's in there. I think it's in the Septuagint, too. I got to check. But when you read it, it turns out that there was like a tornado in the middle of the furnace.
Now we
talked about hurricanes and stuff on the last show, I think. And then all of a sudden you got all the wind and everything, and then it's dead.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the wind's going the other way.
Right. Because
that was the eye. Mm-hmm. So it talks about a fire tornado that was in there, which would explain why they weren't touched by the heat.
Right.
Okay. And everything that happened, and they weren't nothing burning, but they were touched on the outside. So that was the Holy Spirit in there in the tornado, and then Jesus was in the middle with them. It's really powerful. Yeah. You got to go back and read it.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I did read that story, and you're right. I ought to go back and look at it again, because
you got to actually search for the prayer of Azariah.
Okay.
Not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their Babylon names.
Okay.
And to bed we go.
Okay. All right.
Azariah, Hananiah, and I forgot. I gotta memorize those names and not the other ones. Remember the song? And and the trumpet. He was playing the trumpets.
Yeah.
What's that dude's name?
Shadrach,
Meshach, Abednego.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
That answers the flame thing. But I'm going to leave it there. So if you're listening to this on the radio, go to lastchristian.net.
Right.
And then watch the video.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. And if you haven't signed up for YouTube and Rumble yet, make sure you do. Subscribe. As I don't know if Rumble's got the little bell thing, but I know YouTube does.
It's got a little like button.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I haven't been, we've only been on Rumble a short period of time, so I'm not up to speed on everything it does yet. But I'm still working with it, David. I'm working with it hard, you know, see what I can come up with. Yeah.
We'll find it.
All right.
All right. But that's not why we're talking about today.
Yeah. I'm going to turn it over to you. This is yours. I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'll just jump in with my stupid questions.
Okay, good. I'm going to mess with your head a little bit today, if that's all right.
Fine. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So we're here, and obviously we're talking about Genesis still. And it's funny because I get so many people on social media and different things, and they think they know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, what are you talking about? And so I kind of point them to the show. Listen, I don't have the time nor the desire to sit here and type out all of these posts in answer to your questions. Click. Right. Here's the list. Go watch some videos. Oh, yeah, sure. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I guess you're not serious then. Goodbye. So we are here, but I expect this. This is what I expect, JD, is that the devil does not like the truth, and he does not like a young earth, and he does not like a 6,000-year earth.
Right,
He needs to have billions of years, and so he gets really bent when you do this. So we're going to talk about the age of creation and why it's important.
It's hugely important. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And that's kind of really where we're at. Why does it matter, you know? There are tons of different things that we're going to get into that prove scientifically that the Earth is young and and therefore the universe, because the universe has the same thing. A couple of things of this. We got sediment on the seafloor, bent rock layers, fossilized soft tissue, Lazarus bacteria. That's always a fun one.
Mm.
How little salt is actually in the sea if we were billions of years old. helium and radioactive rocks, carbon 14. We'll explain a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
The sun and the faint sun paradox, it's called. A decaying magnetic field. I think we touched on that on a previous show.
A little bit.
Yeah, the magnetic field's got a half-life of just about 1,500 years, like 1478 or something. Comets, that they're short-lived, the recession of the moon's orbit, things like that. But more importantly, is why is this important?
Yeah.
Okay? Why does it really matter? And people will argue, JD, and they'll go, oh, well, God could have, you know, took millions of years. Yeah. So I like to do it like this. So what you're telling me, Mr. Skeptic, is that God could have taken 6 million years to make the Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes. And then, okay, so it could have taken, 60 years to make the Earth. Oh, yeah, So he could have made it in 6 minutes then if he wanted to, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So he could have made it, the Earth and the universe, in 6 hours since he's God, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he could have made it in 6 days then, correct?
Correct.
Oh, no. Couldn't have made it in 6 days.
That's the only one he couldn't have done it in, right?
Yeah, could have done everything else, but not in 6 days. The bottom line is, we weren't there.
No.
Neither me nor Mr. Skeptic, okay?
No.
And I know you got a couple years on me, but you weren't there either, were you?
I was not present for the event, no.
Okay. So what we have to do is get the historical record from someone who was there.
Correct.
All right, so this is where the importance comes in.
Okay.
If he says this, it must be true. Now, we've already demonstrated over the last few months how just the word structure and the letter structure of the Hebrew is impossible for anybody to write.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And then, in the midst of all that, the prophecy, okay? Mm-hmm. And Revelation 19 says the Spirit of Christ is prophecy, basically. Mm-hmm. Jesus, the fact that you can believe in Jesus, is the Spirit of prophecy. And what that means is this book was written thousands of years in advance, mm-hmm. and it's 100% accurate.
Right.
Okay, and despite what anyone wants to say, there are people, oh, no, it's been proven wrong. No, it hasn't.
Never once.
You know, you come up with accusations are different. Okay, if you got an accusation, great.
Okay, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you right there, because there are people out there that say that, you know, it's not true. The Bible's been found to be in error. So here's my challenge. Anybody out there, show it to me. Go on.
Mm-hmm.
Send it to us. Give us your best shot, and we'll show you where the Bible proves you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's a challenge. Standing challenge. And it's not 1 week, not one show. From now on, standing challenge.
Okay, standing challenge. Ahead. And here's the thing, too. It's not just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's wrong.
Right.
Okay. Oh, so you believe the Bible says you can have adultery. No, it doesn't say that. It just records accurately that King David had an affair.
Right.
It didn't say he condoned it. Oh, and then there's bigamy, you know, multi-marriages.
Mm-hmm.
No, the Bible records it accurately, but doesn't condone it.
No one is righteous. No, not even one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then here's the big one. Oh, well, he went out and killed everybody and all the animals and all the you know, men, women, and children, too. Well, yes, if you understood the Nephilim, then you'd understand why.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. because they were evil, and then you'd have another situation that they would take over the earth, and then you wouldn't exist. So just the very fact that he did that for you, you should be grateful.
Correct.
And so this is a type of thing you run into. People are not really paying attention.
They don't want to.
But all of the Bible, and then we have the equidistant letter spacing that's in there. So we talked about where, in a verse where he said, and God made all the plants, right? In Genesis 1:3.
Mm-hmm.
And all of, I think there's 26 variety of trees listed throughout the Bible, okay? Every single one of them is encoded in that one verse.
Okay.
All of the trees.
Okay.
Encoded in the one verse. I suppose if they looked, the plants would be there too. But... And just by its very nature, they should be spread out over the entire Torah, right?
Right.
But they're
right.
not. They're all concentrated on that one verse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Genesis 30, it's talking about, and Ruth and Boaz, and I think it's 38.
Okay.
But Ruth and Boaz were there, and it has all of their genealogies. It starts with, well, we all know that Rahab, right, was the hooker who was right. the great-grandmother of King David.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we see all this, but you see Rahab, you see Ruth, you see Boaz, you see Jesse, you see David, all in chronological order, all listed in that same verse.
Right.
Now, this was thousands of years before David, right?
Right, right.
How'd that happen? Where he listed them in chronological order in the same 49-letter equidistant letter spacing. So it's all incorporated in there. We see pi. Remember, we looked at pi was in there. We looked at E was in there. We looked at all the mathematical sequences. And it is literally impossible for that word to be just randomly made up by a man. Because of all of the codes that are in it.
Mm-hmm.
See, and then on the last show, we talked about the odds of codes. And we talked about DNA. And it's a 3.2 billion letter alphabet that writes the story of you. Here's all your parts. Here's how they work. Here's how you put them together. Here's the blueprints and all that stuff.
What makes you you?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we found that the Bible is actually... just as complex as your DNA.
Yes, it is.
So,
without a doubt.
When the Bible says something, I will tend to believe it.
100%.
Yes. And that's where we start from. So, the question is, are you looking at your natural senses? And you see, okay, I see the stars are X amount of millions of light years away, and this looks old, and that looks old. So what you're doing is you're interpreting the science and the evidence from your old earth point of view rather than interpreting it from the Bible, which is a first-hand account.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that's the difference. It's got nothing to do with science because science is much more clear and much more prevalent in the Bible.
You can't say
Bible versus science.
We talked about that a little bit, that God created science, you know, and that early on scientists wanted to continue to do that. They wanted to continue to prove the Bible, but somewhere along the way, somebody decided that they were more intelligent than anybody else in the world and decided that science was more important than God, and that all changed. I don't know exactly when that happened. Maybe you do, but...
Well, I mean, there's ancient things. The Hindu religion way back started the whole reincarnation thing. I mean, the pagan religions are all there, but in modern times it was Lyell. And Lyell postulated the concept. Here, let me get his quote up here.
Okay.
It should be more of Lyer, but
anyway. Yeah, for real. Yeah. Agree with that. Oh, man. Yeah, so, science just goes off the deep end with this stuff.
Yeah, so Lyell basically says that he wants to remove Moses from Free Science from Moses was his actual thing. Yeah, so he's like, oh, everyone believes that back then everyone believed in the 6,000 years and that we had a flood and that's what caused everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Lyell's, that was his goal. So it was like in the early 1800s, and then Darwin just bought onto that when he got hurt, and so he didn't want to believe God either. Mm. So let me see.
I think that's really the root of it, as far as people not believing in God. It's because of a personal hurt, I think, in a lot of cases.
It usually is.
You know, God, if there was a God, he wouldn't have let this happen. If there was a God, he wouldn't have done that. You know, and they don't understand. God's got his own plan, and there is a plan for everybody. And you may not like it, but, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, God's God, and it's going to play out exactly the way he wants it to.
Exactly. So, but yeah, Charles Lyell did that. So anyway, let's get off of him, because that's where it all started in recent years. They were building on an old concept. Even there was no term dinosaur back then. So now they said, well, there are dinosaurs in the Bible. Well, they're all over the Bible. They're called dragons. They're called behemoth. They're called leviathan, tanim. There's a lot of different words that are used, and you can clearly see they are dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the term wasn't invented, you know, until the 1850s again.
Yeah.
But they had to do this because they have to get rid of God, because here we're approaching the end of the age.
Right.
And so Satan had to start it back, you know, 150 some odd years ago, 175, because it takes that long to work its way through the generations. The people that were there back then, they're not just going to all of a sudden buy it. Oh, okay, yeah, then there was no flood.
Right.
But if someone says it, and then the next generation, someone says, oh, well, there's two ideas, and they'll look at that, and then they bring it around, oh, well, my idea is better, and then they don't allow you to teach the other idea, which is what they did in the schools. Oh, you're not allowed to teach creation because that's religion.
Right.
No, it's not religion.
That's right back again. And I don't like Nazi comparisons, but they continually come up and you can't avoid it. And that, you know, Goebbels said, tell the biggest lie you can as often as you can, and people will believe it. Well, that's exactly what happened, right?
Yep. But they needed several generations, which is why they started back then, because now you can see the destruction of society,
right?
Because of it. Matter of fact, what we call racism is specifically because of that. Mm-hmm. And people don't know this. You know, if you're not white, then you should really hate Darwin, because he said anyone who's not white is basically, you know, not a superior race. And eventually, the survival of the fittest will do that. And that's where we get this whole concept.
That's the whole purpose behind abortion. What's the name of that organization?
Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger.
Yeah, they were dedicated to eliminating the entire African American community. Just like Hamas wants to eliminate Israel or all the Muslim countries that hate Israel so much, want to get rid of them. Well, that lady, she wanted to get rid of every black person, and now look what it's developed into now. You know, all it is Murder Incorporated, right?
Yeah, her term was cockroaches, by the way, just in case you're a Margaret Sanger lover. Think about that all of the
pipe and
racism
smoke.
Is going. Mm-hmm. Smoking everything else. So here, the whole idea is to get people whacked out so they don't trust the Lord anymore. Right. And they do it evangelistically. So Satan is subtle. And remember, he was the most subtle beast. And he does this over time. And he lies. And that gets people to do that. So due to the evangelistic way that they're preaching evolution, and evolution is a religion because it's all based on faith.
Right.
All right. Any kind of science must be demonstrable and repeatable. And you cannot prove evolution. You could look at something and say, oh, it did this. That's not proof. That right. is you making a guess.
All I remember is the missing link thing. That was big in the 70s, I think it was. You know, where's the missing link?
Yeah, and then they got Lucy, and it turns out Lucy was contrived. Let's take right. this bone here. Oh, look, this hip bone doesn't fit. I got an idea. We'll grind it down. That's how it would have been. It would have been just like this when I grind it down. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, man.
So you got to be a clown. You really right. have to be a clown to believe in evolution. Mm-hmm. But it's taught in schools, and it's taught so hard that even some Christians think, oh, well, God could have used evolution to do this. Well, no. He didn't say that. It's the same thing. Could he make it in 6 million years? Yeah. Does he make it in 6 minutes? Yes. Well, he could also make it in 6 days, and that's what he said.
Amen.
This is what he said. So right. if he said, oh, I used millions of years, he would have said, I used millions of years.
Right. Exactly.
But he didn't. Okay? So we just have to go by the firsthand account of the author, the guy who actually made the place.
Amen.
But because of that, there's different things. One's called, like, they do a local flood. Oh, it wasn't a real flood. It was a local one. Uh-huh. Well, sorry, Genesis 7 says it covered every high mountain over and all the earth.
I'm going to stop you on that one because I heard a thing not too many years ago where they were talking about scientists that went out all over the world and they could mm-hmm. find, like, if you were to go to the Grand Canyon, for instance. You can find a actual mark there, which proves there was water at that level at that particular time in history. And they do that all over the world. It all matches up. In other words, the Bible proved itself right yet again.
Yep. And it's the same layers all around the earth.
Everywhere.
Everywhere's got the same layers. And there's a nice white one in the middle. So it's just crazy. This stuff they come up with. So we're going to talk about that on the second half too. Theistic evolution. That's what we just talked about. Oh, God could have used it. Mm-hmm. And then they say, well, then there's the day age, or the one day was actually like, you know, a million years. So it was first day was a million years. Second day was a million years, blah, blah, blah. Then there's progressive creation. All right, but you have a problem there too, and then we're going to talk about the.
What is progressive, or am I getting ahead of us there?
Well, it's kind of like theistic evolution, where instead of God put it there and then it evolved on its own, it's like, well, he did it and then he made some changes every once in a while.
He made an adjustment because he couldn't get it right the first time. Yeah, I'm buying that one.
Oh, did you see the meme? And then this was great. So there's a big throne in the clouds, and you're supposed to believe you're in heaven, and there's a giant monkey sitting on the throne, and he's looking at humans and says, oh, I made you in my image, but it looks like you evolved. That's theistic evolution.
That's awful.
It was making fun of theistic evolution, so but that's the idea. Oh, he made you in his image. So you were a monkey first. So that means God's a monkey.
That's awful.
But when you think about it that way.
Yeah.
And then there's in the framework hypothesis. But the gap theory, I think that's one of the bigger ones that even, I like my conspiracy circles. I love the gap theory. But that one is not viable either. Mm. It just doesn't work. The text doesn't support it, and there's zero evidence, and there's so many things that wouldn't work in the gap theory. And that means there's a gap between verse 1 and verse 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
If there was, they would have said so.
Yeah, he would have clearly said that, hey, you know, I created this, and then it was a long time later. Long time, me love you, long time. And then we're going to talk about Barry Setterfield.
Actually would have put the day of rest between day one and day two.
Yeah. Yeah. That's then
a crazy concept.
Yeah. Then you got a problem there because, okay, well, why did he rest here and how come that's not over there? Mm-hmm. So your Sabbath is along the same lines there, too.
Yeah.
Plus, let's finish up the first half with this one, the biblical genealogy.
Okay.
And from Adam's creation, mm-hmm. the creation week, to the flood, if we add it up, that was Adam, and he was 130, and he had Seth. And that Seth was 105 and had Enosh. Enosh was 90 and had Kenan. Kenan was 70 and had Mahalalel. Mahalalel was 65 and had Jared. Jared was 162 and had Enoch. Enoch was 65 and had Methuselah. And Methuselah was 187 and had Lamech. Mm-hmm. And then Lamech was 182 and had Noah. And then Noah was 600 when the floods came. That adds up to 1,656 years Anno Mundi, which means the year of the Lord. That's when the flood happened.
Okay.
And that is demonstrable. Somewhere is around 4,000 something years ago.
Okay.
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 Because we can add up the numbers and stuff too. But, and then we have the twisting of the orbit and the different things kind of made everything askew. Originally, the year was 360 days before, I think, Joshua's day. But that's another thing too. All right. So we're going to break a little bit here. So I want to encourage everybody, if you really like being a part of this conversation, you can mm-hmm. join us in the Hidden Day Discipleship Study. Just email me at thehiddenday@protonmail.com, and then we'll get you over there. We'll send you a link. You can actually join some of the conversation where we talk ad infinitum about these crazy things, and you can add your comments.
I highly recommend that. I do. I highly recommend that. And the times kind of go along against us in some cases here, but you got to remember, you can find Last Christian anytime. And you're not going to hurt my feelings or, if you take part in a live discipleship study and then come back and watch the show, you might as well, get the best of both worlds is what I'm saying. And that's it. Okay, Dad, I'm sorry. I just want to throw that
in. No, that's
there.
It. I mean, we're out of the second half, so stay tuned. We're actually going to dig into some of these things and prove scientifically that the earth is young, just like it says in the Bible. So, Lord willing, we'll be back for the second half. You guys just hang out and stay with us. We'll see you then.
From Feature Story News in the UK, I'm John Beaver. Russian President Vladimir Putin is visiting North Korea. It's his first state visit to Pyongyang in 24 years. Chris Gilbert reports.
Vladimir Putin will stay just one night in Pyongyang, hosted by his North Korean counterpart, Kim Jong-un. The trip reciprocates a visit by Kim to eastern Russia in September, where Putin guided him around a space facility, with Pyongyang successfully launching a satellite not long after. Reports said the two leaders will sign a partnership agreement that focuses on security. North Korea is a vocal supporter of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and the US and South Korea allege that Pyongyang has been supplying munitions to Moscow. The shipments have not been proven, but UN observers say they've found North Korean-made weapons used in Ukraine. Chris Gilbert in Tokyo.
At least 11 people have died and more than 60 are missing after two boats sunk off southern Italy. Officials say the boats were carrying migrants who'd set off from Libya and Turkey. It's feared many of the missing are children. UN figures show that more than 23,000 migrants have died whilst attempting to cross the Mediterranean Sea since 2014. Britons are being warned to make sure they're registered to vote in the country's general election, with the deadline just hours away. An estimated 4 million first-time voters still haven't signed up, which they'll need to do by the end of Tuesday. The UK votes on July the 4th, with the opposition Labour Party currently leading the governing Conservatives in the polls by a wide margin. Dan Laws from the group My Life, My Say says many younger voters do leave it to the last minute to register.
On the last national voter registration day, we managed to get 113,000 young people in one day just before the local elections on the deadline day registered to vote. Young people do register to vote at the last minute. We are the procrastinator generation.
Severe weather warnings have been issued for northern Germany, dampening the mood of the European Championship football tournament, with tens of thousands of fans told to avoid gathering outside to watch several key games. Trent Murray reports from Berlin.
Severe thunderstorms have been predicted across much of northwest Germany Tuesday, causing authorities to close the official fan zones in Cologne, Dortmund, Dusseldorf and Gelsenkirchen. The news particularly affects Turkish football fans, with more than 80,000 predicted to gather in Dortmund to watch their squad take on Georgia. Meteorologists, though, are predicting heavy rain, hail and strong winds, advising football fans to stay at home to watch the game. Local organisers in Dortmund say that while they're disappointed to cancel official events, the safety of fans comes first. Trent Murray, Berlin.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
Hey everybody, we're back. And it's only been 4.6 billion years. Because that's how old they think the Earth is, which is ridiculous. But good news though, JD. Just recently, they doubled the age of the universe. A little bit
more. Are you telling me that science had to make an amendment to what they say is always perfect? That they never make a mistake, but, you know, just like they figured out gravity, they figured out that cutting people open and bleeding them was not a way to help them. Yeah, by the way, that happened to George Washington. I'm just not making that one up. Incorruptible science was wrong and they had to make an adjustment. Wow.
They do that all the time. And they do it, and then they talk to you dogmatically, like, oh, this is what we found, and this is the truth now.
Right.
Oh, what happened to the truth last week? Yeah, so it went from, I think it was 13.6 billion was the latest estimate, and then now they sent this Webb telescope up, which is a great telescope, and it actually shows the glory of God, and it shows so many things that they can't explain. Mm-hmm. That can only be explained by the creator, but they won't admit that. But now they're like, it's 28 billion years old now.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because they found some further things or something like that. So remind me to talk about Barry Setterfield.
Barry Setterfield, okay.
All right. So now they come up with this. You ever hear of carbon-14 dating radiometric?
I have heard of carbon-14 dating, yes.
Oh, here's the deal. Carbon's normally got like 12 electrons floating around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Carbon-14's got a couple more. That's why they call it carbon-14. So it every once in a while, one of these electrons flies off. They call it radioactive. It's gone. Hey, where'd it go?
Okay.
So they measured this, and then they're like, oh, it measures this much. Well, there's a problem with that, okay? I mean, we can get in deep into the numbers and stuff, and maybe if you come on the study, we could talk about the numbers. But here's the basic idea. Now you're saying, oh, it had this many electrons, and now we're going to measure it, and it takes this long to get to this many electrons, and they're gone off. It's called a half-life.
Okay.
So they have this half-life, and radiometric dating is actually limited to about 20,000 years, because by that time things should have decayed. By then, all of the electrons should have flown off.
Okay.
If they were going to.
Okay.
So you have a couple of real problems. Number one, you have to assume that the rocks started 100% fully radioactive with carbon-14 if you're going to measure it, right?
Okay.
And you have to assume that the decay rate has remained constant. Even with all of that, you're limited to, you know, tens of thousands of years. So you can't possibly put a date of millions of years on anything with radiometric dating. They make it all up. And because of the way it's structured, you actually get a different result if you do it on Wednesday than on Thursday.
Mm. Well, now, David, to kind of go along with that, I get frustrated because I hear people say, well, you know, weather people or whatever, and they say, you know, there was a volcano that erupted in, you know, 20 million years ago or something, you know. How in the heck can they even lie that good? I mean, what? Who was there to measure it? How do they come up with a measurement other than just a basic guess?
That's all it is guesses. But you got to remember, not one of these volcanologists are actually out there doing any kind of experiments.
Right.
They are simply repeating what someone else told them.
Okay.
I guarantee you the weatherman that is not out there in any way, shape, or form doing studies and actually determining the age of any rocks or anything like that.
Agreed.
Yeah. So here's the biggest problem with it in addition to there's no date stamp on rocks.
Right.
How can you possibly say, oh, this started and it was 100% radioactive when it started and now it's here? they date. Remember Mount St. Helens in 1980?
Oh, yes.
They dated the rocks, and it came out, the rocks that came out, and it's like, oh, this is a brand new rock. Let's measure, let's do the radiometric dating on it, and came out to the hundreds of thousands of years old. And it's like, it's a brand new rock. they dated a live snail to 25,000 years old.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
But they don't tell you those things. What they do is they'll take a whole bunch of measurements, and they're like, oh, I like this one. And they're all different. This one has 40 million years. This one is 3 days. Oh, we don't like 3 days. Now, there must be something wrong with that one. Let's choose this one.
Yeah.
It's not accurate in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. All right. Okay. I totally agree with that. Yes.
Yeah. None. Like zero. So recently they started doing helium dating, and it's much more accurate.
Okay.
And obviously it's the Christians who figured it out, because academia will not do it because, like, oh no, it can't be right, because they want to stick with their fake ones.
Right.
But helium, basically when things decay, it will produce helium because the atoms start to fly off, and the smallest viable one, you can get hydrogen, but it's gone. But helium is two protons and two electrons. All right.
Okay.
And they're super tiny, and they float off. You ever get like a helium balloon and why is this thing decreasing?
Yeah.
It's all sealed up. How come it's going flat?
Mm-hmm.
This helium is super duper tiny, and it actually goes through the molecules of the balloon.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's what happens to rocks and everything.
Okay.
So they measure the helium decay, and they started measuring the helium decay. And it turns out there is a boatload of helium in all the rocks around the world, which, if they were millions of years old, that would have evaporated already.
Right,
just like your balloon going flat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that is a big problem for the evolutionists, because, matter of fact, it was even more than the creationists thought it would be because of the age of the earth. It was more helium. It's like, wait a minute, there's even more than we expected, which means there was some sort of slowdown of it. And then it's like, oh, okay, the flood and the catastrophe of the earth kind of slowed it down.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. That's the radiometric day. But let's look at the gap. All right.
Okay.
Oh, the gap theory. Okay. So gap theory says, oh, there must have been millions of years between day one and day two. And it says, it says the earth was formless and void.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give you the fancy Hebrew words, which we love fancy Hebrew words here. Tohu vavohu. And they all try and say it like that. And it's really tohu vohu, but the va in front of it is an and. So it's like it's a conjunctive valve. And it says, look, and the earth became formless and void, which means it must have been formed and everything then. Well, okay, let's take a look at it. Look at the parsing of the word in the Hebrew. And so they'll say, look, it says right here that it became formless and void. And yes, but not really. It's just hard to put that into the English.
Right, right.
And so in working with the parts of speech and in the sentence structure that it was, it really says and it came to be in a formless and void state. Not became. So it sounds pretty close. It became formless and void, and then they're like, oh, that means it was good before, and then it fell. No. It literally says it came to be in this state.
Yeah, came to
so
be.
So that
was created.
In the language itself, in the Hebrew, you really can't use that. And there's not a Hebrew scholar that will tell you anything different. It came to be in that state. And there's not one Hebrew scholar that will tell you that there's any kind of day age.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't imply that. Because there's, I think, 410 times the word yom is used. Let me see here. Total was 2,301 times yom is used. But there was, let me see here. Get my notes out. In context of, 410 times it's used where it always means an ordinary day, and that means evening and morning. So 38 were evening and morning together. And then evening and morning together, evening or morning was another 23 times. Night and day was another 52 times. So when you start to add them all up, it was 410 times that it's used with either evening or morning. That is always a 24-hour day.
Yeah.
And that's what we see here. There was evening and morning, day one.
Mm-hmm.
Evening and morning, day two.
Right.
So that's called exegesis, by the way, where you say, okay, I don't know what this word means in this context, so let me see how the author uses it elsewhere in context.
Okay.
So we go and we look. All of these times, 410 times that it's used with evening and or morning, every single time, it's a 24-hour day.
Okay.
So you can only understand this as a 24-hour day.
Okay.
Okay. But then you have, if there's a day age, you got a major problem. Because the plants were created on day three, and the sun, moon, and stars weren't created till day four. So even if you have 1,000 years, as you know, because that's the microcosm that we have, 1,000 years is one day.
Right.
That's talking about Earth history and the microcosm, and then 1,000-year reign of Christ. It's not talking about creation day.
Right.
Even if you do that, plants are not going to live for 1,000 years without the sun.
Nope.
I'm pretty sure that's impossible.
I am too. Check your own backyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's that. Then when you have the gap theory, you got a couple problems with that. Oh, there's a gap between one and two. Yeah, we're back on the gap. And this is how the story goes. Oh, well, Satan was there and the angels were there when he laid the foundation of the earth. And we did talk about that before. So that must have been millions of years in the past. And then they go and they'll say things like, oh, there was civilizations. We can see them today. No, they were just pre-flood civilizations that we see today. That's why they're all underwater.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you know, all the angels and everything, they all died and they had wars and all this stuff happened. And then he came back and created men. Well, you got a problem. Because every time he said he was good, he created this, it was good. So there was no plants for those millions of years. There was no birds. There was no nothing else. It was just these things. And then you have sin before Adam fell. And he said, no, it was perfect. So where are you getting this? Now you're having death before sin.
Right.
And it was the wages of sin is death.
And if I followed you correctly, too, you got people fighting each other before there was Adam.
Yeah.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
So there you get into the recreation thing. And it's like, no, that's not what it says. Could he have done it? Yeah, he could have made 6 million years, but that's not what it says.
Right.
Okay. And then we have proof of a young Earth, too. But that's the gap theory just doesn't work because part of the gap theory says, oh, look at the millions of years. Look at the age of the universe. Well, we just went over that.
Right.
The stars and the sun and the moon weren't made till day four.
Right.
So they weren't there for that gap. So you can't use the age of the stars to prove the age of the universe. Sorry. You got your gap theory out of whack.
Well,
but that was there because most people don't read.
Their gap theory goes along with every other theory they got. None of, and it's all theory. It's all speculation. It's all fantasy. And if you want to know the truth, read the Bible. Bottom line.
Yeah. And I mean, this is just common sense that we're even talking about here.
For real.
It's just, you're just not paying attention. And most people don't realize that, the angels were created on day one. That's what Jubilee says. So they were there when he laid the foundation day three. Okay? Right? And day one was he hovered over the waters. And then he made the land and stuff on day three. So they were there to rejoice. So that 2 days is plenty of time.
Right.
And then Jubilee says it wasn't until 7 years exactly that Satan, deceived Eve.
Yeah.
So that's enough time.
Well, we talked about that too, and it makes perfect sense. But it's not like this serpent just showed up one day, and it's you have to kind of put it into modern day stuff. Okay, if you got a stranger coming up to you and they're telling you that everything that you've been taught is wrong, chances are you're going to tell them to go take a hike. But if you've got a stranger that comes up to you and they become your friend and they're with you for 7 years and they've always treated you well and they've always told you the truth up until now, you might be swayed by what they say. That's just my personal observation. I don't know how close I am, but...
Yeah, I mean, why else would she be talking to him? Right? Because she was familiar with him.
Right.
And that could be a problem. There's a lot of people that are probably close and familiar with all of us that will lead you astray at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, you can put that in your own life with your own friends and family members when you start turning to the Lord. When you, when you start, let's say you come from a family that is not Christian and you receive Christ and you just want to tell them about it, well, they're going to do everything that they can lovingly to tell you that you're wrong, and it's your job to tell them, no, you're wrong, and I'm going to be real loving to you and tell you the truth. It's kind of a long story, but that's how it works.
So we did talk about the flood being worldwide and how it's out there. So a lot of the things that prove that are the same layers are all over the earth. So how'd that happen? If it was a local flood or whatever. Right. And then we see canyons. Again, with Mount St. Helens, a canyon formed in like a week?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was crazy. It kind of busted open one of their lakes and this canyon formed. It looks like, there's millions of years old canyon. It's got all the rock layers. It's got everything.
Yeah. I just remember all the trees laying over sideways and all that kind of stuff. That's what I remember from it. Yeah.
Oh, that too. And all of a sudden, they created a bog. Like in a couple of years, and they say, it takes millions of years, and then this stuff fossilizes, and then they took some oil out, and then they're like, hey, there's more oil. How'd that get here? We don't know because it doesn't take that long.
Yeah,
and they found a fossilized cowboy boot with a foot in it.
Oh man,
some dude's foot is like it's got like an 1800s cowboy boot on, and it's all fossilized.
Yeah.
So there's that. We're running out of time. So let me hit some good stuff. I wonder if that was
old Harry Truman. No. Okay.
Never mind. It might be. So, all right. So there was this paleontologist, Mary Schweitzer. And in 2005, she actually found viable dinosaur flesh and bones and cartilage and blood vessels.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying everything they can to say, that's not it. This and this. It's like, well, here it is. Look, you take it yourself and look at it. And clearly, if it was millions of years old, it would not be able to survive. DNA breaks down in a very, 10,000 years or something like that. So they've really dumbed everyone down.
Yeah.
Even if you're in... like a Christian college. This is sad too. Religion department. Who believes that the biblical flood was worldwide? Well, They say 56.8% believe in the religion, in the Christian community. Wow. 56% believe that it was worldwide. 30.9% believe it was local. And 12.3% believe it was just a story and not literal.
Oh, man.
Of Christians.
Yeah. That's seminary?
Yeah.
Good.
Religious great. Schools. Imagine that.
That's awful. Yeah.
And you can't, because it says in Genesis 7:19, the waters prevailed so mightily upon the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, and swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. There's no other way to interpret that.
No, there's not. Now, you wanted me to remind you before we run out of time about Barry Sutterfield?
Yeah, Barry. Okay. Yeah. So, that's good about the apparent age of the universe.
Okay.
Now, Barry Sutterfield, back in the 80s, started doing research on the speed of light. And he wanted to test, he did an experiment for testing the accuracy of how they measured from back then till now. And turns out that, you know, 400 years ago, they would measure it. And originally, they thought it was just infinite. Light was infinite. Uh-huh. Okay, here it's here, it's there. And then they just started doing experiments, and they found out that it wasn't infinite, that it had a speed. It was just super fast, 186,000 miles per hour. So he started to say, okay, how accurate were they back then? It was this much. And we can get into the numbers, but look up Barry Sutterfield, and you'll see his whole experiments.
Okay.
And then they got more and more accurate, so now they're down to like 3 seconds or something crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's not what he found out. He's like, that's good. They measured it better and better. But he found out over time, the speed of light was actually slowing down. He said, that's weird. And the short story is, the second law of thermodynamics that we talked about last week applies to speed of light as well, because now light is slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you extrapolate backwards and logarithmically go through this, at the time of creation, it was about a million times faster than it is now.
Wow.
Okay. Now, and that's just a supposition. Imagine how fast it was before the fall. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe it was infinite, and it creates the universe in that maturity state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here you are, even at a million times faster than it is now. That means 1 million light years becomes one light year.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So now what we're measuring at 186,000 miles per second and or a light year was actually not that long, but way back in the beginning of creation.
So any kind of measurement today would not be accurate when you're looking at yesterday. I'm using yesterday as a long, long time ago type situation. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we see is obviously the speed of light. So you can't use the speed of light as an accurate distance measure, and you can't use it as an accurate time measure.
Makes sense. Okay.
You just can't, because it's slowing down.
Gotcha. Okay.
And you can measure how fast it's actually slowing down as well. And so that would greatly speed it up. Plus, when you're moving and you're approaching the speed of light, time slows down anyway, just because of the whole time-space continuum quiz. So time goes slower when you're going at the speed of light. So even if the stars are moving at that speed, time is not moving at that speed.
Right.
So if you extrapolate everything back, there was some experiments done, it actually comes back to, even though you have all these apparent long ages out there, if they're moving out, because God, he said he stretched out the heavens. Mm-hmm. If they're being stretched out, for them, it's still 6,000 years, the same as it is for us here.
Is that stretch out thing, is that an ongoing thing, or was that the reason I'm asking is I'm still trying to figure out how come light's slowing down. You know, I'm not clear on that one yet.
It's because it's a particle and it's a wave and it goes like this, you know, and it's going at this speed.
Okay.
Well, now it's going at this speed.
Okay.
Now it's going in this speed. That would also account for the Doppler effect that Halley saw. Okay. So Halley, you know, he's got his whole comet and all that, and then the telescope too. Mm-hmm. So, is that Halley's telescope? Yeah, it was, right?
It's Hubble. Are you talking about
Hubble? Hubble? That's it. Yeah. Hubble. Sorry.
Okay.
Nope. So Hubble was he was looking at all the lights, and it baffled him because all of them have a redshift, and he's like, "Oh, crap! Everything's moving away from us."
That's it right there. That's exactly the answer that I was looking for right there.
Yeah. The Doppler effect, which means we're in the center of the universe.
Uh-huh.
He did not like that. He also found that there was 7 concentric layers of spheres of galaxies. Okay. So it's not just, they're all just scattered out there randomly. Right. There's actually just spheres, and there's 7. Yeah. 7 spheres where all the galaxies condense. Just all like works. It would be, you know those Russian dolls? You open it and it's like with that with galaxy spheres.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the speed of light slowing down would answer that question.
Okay.
Because everywhere you look, the Doppler effect would take a place.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. I was momentarily confused by the slowdown thing. I mean, I wasn't questioning it. I was just trying to figure it out.
And that makes perfect sense. If it's slowing down, it's noticeable.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
We're coming up on 2 minutes, so all of these things, I'm gonna go through a quick list.
Okay.
Every single one of these things has a very short time frame, which proves that the universe is a young universe. Okay. Helium in the atmosphere, helium in the ground, meteor dust, carbon 14 buildup, the human population is number one. Natural plutonium, sodium in the sea. Sediment in the sea, erosion of the continents, Earth's magnetic field is decaying, oil leaks, natural gas leaks in the Earth, the coral reef growth, oldest living plants, human civilizations, river deltas all over the planet. Mm-hmm. They should be much bigger. The salinity of the sea, uranium, oil seepage in the oceans, rotation of spiral galaxies and interstellar gas expansions. And the decay of comets, all of these prove that the universe is less than 10,000 years old, all of those. Yeah. And there's probably 60 or so that I can come up with.
Yeah, and probably a lot more that you hadn't even thought of yet.
Yep. All right. Here, take us out. I'm done.
Man, that was awesome, David. One of the best teachings, I think, that you've given in quite a while. And all of this is pointing to the fact that we're waiting on the rapture of the church. We're looking for that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before that happens. So if you haven't accepted Christ yet, please do. All you've got to do is ask the Lord and just tell him, hey, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I know Jesus Christ is your son. I know he died for me. I know he rose again. I know that he's coming back for his church one of these days. Could be today. And I will follow you all the rest of the days of my life. I promise to dedicate my life to you from this point forward in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you'll do that, don't worry about it. You'll be raptured with me and David and every other Christian living and dead. And we'll let all those other people go through the tribulation period. We're not here to scare you. We're here to give you something that nobody else can give you, and that's hope. And I do mean eternal hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hope that you'll join us next time on the next edition of Last Christian. Until then, everybody, good night. And God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.